This is Ozarks at Large. The progress of the proposed replacement for the Affordable Care Act is modest. Democrats are lashing out against the plan. Some Republicans, including Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton, have voiced displeasure. And this week, the Congressional Budget Office released an estimate that the plan could mean millions lose health care coverage, but billions in dollars could be saved for the federal government. This week, Roby Brock, from our partner Talk Business and Politics, reached out to Arkansas's 3rd District Congressman Steve Womack for his thoughts about the plan. The congressman says he's a lean yes on the proposal, and that while the package isn't perfect, it is, in his opinion, better than not doing anything at all. Roby asked Congressman Womack about the Congressional Budget Office estimates released earlier this week.
It talks about the fact that there would be about 14 million people that would lose their insurance over the course of the next year, possibly 24 million over the next 10 years. How do you justify a vote like that to some of your constituents? Because when you come home, as you've experienced from some town hall meetings, this is a big concern to them, and you would be voting for a bill that would take insurance away or cause 14 to 24 million people to lose their insurance.
Yeah, I've heard that argument, Roby, but let me debunk some of that argument. Whenever you remove mandates, and this was part of our promise, we were going to rid the country of the Obamacare mandates. When you take mandates away, when you take a mandate away that says you must buy something, then it's obvious there are going to be people out there that are not going to be subject to that mandate. Nobody's going to be subject to those mandates anymore if this thing passes. And naturally, a number of people, how does CBO quantify that? I don't know. There are going to be a number of people that won't buy health insurance. So I think that drives that number up. To what extent, I don't know. But these are all things that we covered in the A Better Way agenda that was part of our campaign promise in the 2016 elections. And again, not a perfect bill, but it is a bill that we can start with that accomplishes a lot of things that we said we needed to do in a health care reform. It's going to lower the deficit. It's going to bring down premiums. CBO's already said that. And it will accomplish a number of other objectives that are very, very important to our side, to include introducing free market principles that will help drive down the cost of not only health care, but insurance. When we get to the second and third phases of this entire process, second phase being HHS secretary having the power of his office to do certain things, and then through regular order, third phase is to do things like tort reform or bringing competition to selling insurance across state lines and those kinds of things. It can't be done as part of reconciliation.
Do you think that, as you mentioned, there's three phases to this and that you guys have lined out here. Is that third phase what we're supposed to bank on in terms of accepting that there's going to be some sort of conditions that are put together that would cause more people to buy insurance? Or do you think that we're at a point in this country where fewer people should have health insurance as a result of what's going to happen in this first phase of the bill?
Well, I know that's a difficult question to answer, but let me just say this. We would love to be able to do repeal and replace all under in one bill and get this done, game, set, match. The problem is, in order to repeal, if you subject it to a filibuster in the Senate, you're not going to have the votes over there. We have 52 Republicans. Holding 52 and getting 8 would be problematic for our conference. For Republicans. So what you do is, and I think Speaker Ryan's done a really good job of articulating this message, you use the tools that you have available. Reconciliation as part of the FY17 budget resolution to be able to do what you can do in reconciliation now, which is limited, and we're there. Then HHS secretary has a lot of power granted to him as a member of the executive branch and the president's cabinet. Secretary Price will go through all of the tools available to him to perfect this health care situation. Then and only then will we be able to go to the floor in the House and the Senate under regular order, regular committee order, bringing bills to the House and to the Senate that deal with the issues that I spoke of earlier that cannot be accomplished through the reconciliation process. And I know that's a lot of political speak, and we tend to lose people when we talk about it. But remember, three phases, this is phase number one, and we're doing everything that we can do under phase one through reconciliation to get us to phase two and phase three.
I guess a little bit more to the heart of my question, though, is it looks like you guys are on a path to make it to where fewer people will have health insurance after this is all said and done. Is that the ultimate goal? Is that right, that we should be structuring something that doesn't broaden the opportunity for people to have more access to affordable health care?
Well, Roby, I understand your question, and I know you want to get me painted into a corner to admit that we're going to have fewer people covered by health insurance. But let me tell you something. What's driving this train right now into a train wreck is Obamacare. Obamacare, as Mr. Trump has adequately described it, is a disaster. It's going to implode on its own. So this train wreck is going to happen anyway. We're trying to minimize the damage of an Obamacare train wreck by coming back and doing something that we think is much more workable and doable and achieves a lot of the principles that we understand. So I'm not going to take the bait. I'm not going to be backed into a corner and give you a talking point or a soundbite that says, yeah, there goes a congressman talking about this is the ultimate goal of Obamacare to make sure people aren't insured. Nobody wants to see that happen. But as we've already said, when you take the mandates away, there will be people make a decision not to be covered by health insurance.
Well, I'm not trying to paint you into a corner, Congressman, just trying to work with the information I have from the CBO. But Governor Asa Hutchinson has expressed an interest in having more state flexibility with Medicaid, has also, I think, put some pressure on you guys to say, don't reduce the amount of money that you're sending to the states for Medicaid. What do you think happens on Medicaid there? Are you in favor of kind of honoring what the Governor Hutchinson's asking for, or do you think something different will happen in that direction?
Well, we don't want to hardship Arkansans, and I certainly appreciate the governor's input. And I've had a lot of input from Governor Hutchinson, and I do enjoy the back and forth. In fact, one day he called me. I was in the budget committee talking about these various issues. And I know Governor Hutchinson wants to roll back the Medicaid expansion to 100% of federal poverty level. But the fact is, we got a lot of Medicaid expansions that have happened around the country, and a number of people covered under these expansions that could be hardshipped by any changes in this bill. We want to minimize that damage. And obviously, the Medicaid expansion piece is a central piece of the discussions going on right now about what we change if we change something. You know, I mentioned top-end income earners and how they're treated. Well, the Medicaid expansion is also part of that formula, too, in terms of just when do we roll this back. Right now, it's a 2020 proposition. There are some hardcore conservatives that want to move that to 2018. So if there's going to be a change in any of these rules, in a change in this proposed law, then it will either happen in a budget committee amendment or it could happen on the floor of the House, maybe in a manager's amendment in the Senate. So we'll just kind of see how it unfolds. But let's remember, this is the American political process at work right now. Three equal and separate branches of government. We are the legislative branch, and it's important that we do it in a very transparent, very thoughtful way, and I think that's exactly how we're approaching it.
Congressman Steve Womack of Arkansas's 3rd District talked with Roby Brock from our content partner Talk Business and Politics earlier this week. You can see the entire interview and find a daily podcast about Arkansas news at talkbusiness.net.